Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-123-23. The appellants are Zhang Tong and Yang Wang with parcel number 1-2098-44-0000-014. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellant does not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing. We're typically allow a half an hour, but since the appellant's not present, I'll try and read from his her petition. The appellant is not appealing the land value and is asking that the improvement in buildings be reduced to $390,000 from the assessor's $498,470 for the appellant's total of $450,000. Versus the assessor's value of $558,470. The appellant states there is a big jump in buildings, et cetera, value from $364,490 to $498,470. However, there's no such big jump in the real market value of the property. In fact, similar houses in my neighborhood usually have a value between $450,000 and $500,000. The government evaluation typically falls within 350 to 450. Well, there is maybe an error in the evaluation. The appellant then presents four sales, two of which were from 22, two of which were from 21, but we're given no further data as to the square footage or distance from the property, age, any of that stuff. I do note that 222 sales were both 10 acre lots versus the lot sales were less than an acre. And the lot size of the appellant is 0.23 acres. So, okay, we'll just have to see how that works out. So at this point, I'd like to hear from Chris.
Sure. So I'll start with kind of going over the, just to kind of piggyback off of some of the appellant's other evidence. And I believe on comps A and B, when it's saying 10, I don't think it's 10 acres. I think it's 10,019 square feet.
Oh, you think it's square feet?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he just kind of changed up how he was signing them out there too, as well. Okay. The appellant's comp A, 1018, Nez Pierce Lane is our comp. Four, just for future reference. And then the appellant's comp 2, 1031 Nez Pierce Lane, is a one story with a bonus room, and it's about 550 square feet smaller than the subject. So that's why that one wasn't included. And then three and four are, you know, comparable C and D, we would not have used because they were 21 sales.
Okay.
So.
Let me ask Chris, the C was, it was like 8 days or something into 21, so seems like it could easily round to 22.
It could easily, but when we have a wealth of sales that we could use that are 22 and in fact are further into the 22 year than that. And actually, that's interesting. And I wanted to bring that up once I get to our comparable sales, if you wouldn't mind me kind of readdressing that in a couple of minutes.
Sure.
Awesome. So the assessor's determination of value is $558,470 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. Like I had mentioned, subject property is 2,676 square feet, 752 square foot, attached garage. And so if we go to pages 3 and 4, the comp grid, 2022 was an extremely aggressive year for the real estate market. And you can actually see how that plays out in the comps that were selected. So if you look at comp 4, which is the appellant's comp B, that 10th, comp A, excuse me, 1018 Nez Perce Lane, it sold for $489,248 in 2022. And then if you look at comp 3, which sold in May, a month later, we have a sale price of $533,411. Then, just 2 months later in 22, in July, we have sales comps 1 and 2, which sold for 600,000 and 619,000 and change, respectively. And then you can kind of see in September of 22, which is comp 5, $630,000. All for homes that are they're all two-story, approximately the same size. Within 10 years of one another when they were built. So effectively the same amount of deferred maintenance and things of that nature. But this comp grid actually really illustrates just how much property values were going up in 22, even on a month-to-month basis. And so given that we had enough sales to use 22 only in this instance, and even though tw the December was only a few days away from being in 22 itself, there were enough 22 sales, and the way property values increased that year were such that, we were able to just use the 22 ones.
Okay, so again, this says Richland, but kind of looks more like West Richland to me, but okay.
The actual subdivision, just to let you know, White Bluffs.
Okay. Well, that didn't mean anything, but except I know the original White Bluffs is out on the Hanford site, but that's neither here nor there. It used to be a town called White Bluffs.
So, realistically, based off of the comps that we selected from the larger pool to kind of illustrate our values and with the bracketing of everything, not only to mention that the subject itself, they bought it in August of 22 for $600,000.
Right.
We feel that our value is an accurate representation of what their value should be.
They bought it in August of 22.
And again, that fits right into that upward trend, 600, and then right in line there with how things were going up on almost on a, it feels like on a week-to-week basis with some of these.
So the assessment's actually less than what they purchased for. Okay.
Correct. And the assessment is exactly, I can tell you right now, 558, 470, 600, 93% of the ratio.
Okay.
I have a question, Chris. Looking at the pictures, this subject house is looks different to me. It's got a flat roof. And just different than the other comps, they're more traditional looking houses, and that one's at least unique in this set of pictures. Is there anything you can say to that style or something?
Absolutely. The subject itself, the builders, they're called inspiration builders. And you'll see them kind of scattered intermittently around a lot of the especially kind of more higher end subdivisions. And one of the ways they set themselves up differently is not only will they use more of like the flat roof and kind of like, or they'll have like the sharp angle on the side of, and then like a flat, they're a lot more modern in how their homes look. But as far as the way that they're built, it's more aesthetic than it is actually a difference in the materials that are used. So they fit well within that 35 class, which the other ones are. And so if we look at, let's just take, for example, Comp 2, which is a lot more of a traditional looking home. I'll look them up and kind of have their builder for you too. 31269.
Well, that's okay. Yeah.
They are, yeah, Savchuk, Victor Savchuk. So just kind of a more traditional build, but ultimately it's more of an aesthetic choice. And what's interesting about Inspiration Builders is if you go to Inspiration Estates in Kennewick, you can see a lot of times what they'll actually do is they'll even have kind of like it's normal looking inspiration home, and then they'll have like a lime green accent wall on the exterior wall, or they'll have a exterior wall that has kind of a unique material. So they do those kind of pops and flashes, but you'll also see them in areas like White Bluffs or Westcliff, where there's more CC&Rs where they can't do those accents, but they still retain the unique roof line and kind of the more modernist styling to how the house is built.
So yeah, I was kind of taken by that same picture as you were, Chuck, and I'm trying to understand. I mean, there's hardly any frontage, right? I mean, there might be a window there. I can't tell.
I can, if
So
you'd like, I can bring it up on my laptop so you can see a bigger
yeah,
picture.
maybe that would be better.
One, two.
I guess where I was going with the question is for resale value, I sure wouldn't buy that house compared to the others. And, but then that's maybe a matter of personal preference. That's just, I'm.
It's
Well,
interesting because I
there's
would love
another
to own
thing.
one.
Flat roofs don't work very well with snow.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let me share the screen with you, and you should be able to see it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a bit elevated, but the roof isn't exactly flat flat. It does have a slope to it. They just have a
Okay.
lot more dramatic, I guess would be a way of saying it. A lot more dramatic flares and finishes. Even the way that the garage bay doors have those windows to the side of them.
Yeah.
Just like little modern touches like that. And yeah, no accounting for taste, but I happen to really like these homes.
Okay.
Yeah, so then there's a covered porch there too, it looks like, yeah.
Yep. And then to show you the sketch really quick, and again, it's stuff that's very typical for what you would expect. There's a front porch and a rear patio and a three bay garage, and nothing about that floor plan is really unique as far as extra runs and fenestration. It's just a aesthetic design choice to how the exterior of the home looks.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I have no questions. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
None from me.
Nope, I don't.
Okay. Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing and we'll deliberate.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-133-23. The appellants are Daryl and Melanie Desmet with parcel number 1-2388-200-0003-000. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellants do not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing. The appellant does not appear to be present, so I'll read from their documentation. They're requesting that land value be reduced from $322,400 to $153,118. Improvements of buildings be reduced from $219,350 to $161,500 for a total valuation of their total requested valuation of $314,618. They say, let's see, replacement slash insurance value of mobile home and outbuildings is at the maximum of $161,500. Comparable land sold in Benton County averages $21,149 per acre. Land is unable to be divided into smaller plots, which decreases potential value. And then they provide four sales. Two of them are in 23, one is in 21, and the fourth one is in 22. And they don't, on their attached document, they really don't give us more detail. They give us some Zillow data. But again, that's for the, you know, the 23 sale. You know, we got 23, it's 3. And then the 22 sale, but it doesn't really, other than acreage, it really doesn't tell us a whole lot. Okay, so I guess at this point, again, they've given us no distance of the comps from the subject property, no age, quality, or condition. The acreages are all different, and they seem to have made no adjustment. And of course, the way they calculated average cost per acre is inappropriate, as acreage is valued on a sliding scale. So, Chris, with that, Chris.
Okay. So the assessor's determination of value is $428,910 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. And essentially, the subject is a triple-wide manufactured home consisting of 2,720 square feet of living area. It's got a 1,080 square foot detached pole building. It physically re-inspected last year in revaluation. And if you look at, pages 3 and 4 of our documentation, you can see the comparable sales that we used, a selection of them that were pulled out of the overall pool for the purposes of validating what we have the assessed value of the property at. So we looked for specifics that were smaller than the subject and bigger than the subject, trying to come as close as we could, especially with size, because the subject is a rather large triple-wide manufactured home. And also trying to bracket to the best of our abilities, or at least come close to the acreage of the subject. So for example, you can see one of the notes toward the middle of page 4 there, we actually have some additional details on each of the comparable sales. So comparable sales is less than an acre, but it is in the 2000 plus square feet of living area. So it was a way to bracket as close as we could the living area of the property. One of the claims they make is easement on the subject. Comparable sale 2 has an easement on the east boundary line similarly. And then comparable sales 4, 5, and 6, we have notes regarding their distance from the subject. They are outside of the bounds of what would be typical for most comparable sales, but when you're dealing with large acreage and when you're dealing with properties of this nature, oftentimes you have to extend your search range. So comparable sale 4 is 9.5 miles away, but it also has some of the same easement issues that the appellants were talking about. Comparable sale 5 is 11 miles away, but also has easements. And then comparable sale 6 is 14 miles away, but the land size is very comparable to the subject itself. And based off of that, go ahead.
Okay. I have some problems with that, with those distances. I mean, looking at your map, you have some out in Findlay and some out, one in Benton City.
That's correct.
Typically, when we see an appellant do this, mm-hmm. we call it cherry picking. Okay, go ahead.
Typically, when we see an appellant do it, and typically what cherry picking would be, would mean that there were other sales that were closer that they omitted because sales that were further away were better representative of what they felt their value should be. So we looked at all of the sales, and you can see we do have sales that are within 3 miles of the subject.
Right, but then I understand.
Because we need to look at additional features and we want to double check, and we also want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence as far as land sales are concerned, and also to address their concerns about easements, we expanded our range. The market is the market, and the available sales are the available sales. And we have to use what's been given to us and what is
understand.
Like transaction. So no, it's not, in this instance, it's not cherry picking. It's using the best available sales.
Right, but it's still all about location. And I think if they wanted to be in the Findlay or West or in Benton City locations, they would have purchased there. So I'm kind of inclined at this point to throw out comps 4, 5, and 6 and ask you to recalculate what the median would be with those out, because I think it's going to be lower than what you're showing. And I'm already concerned about the value as opposed to the median of your estimates. So I'm having some problems here. Now, but on the other side, it's up to the appellant to prove their case, and I don't think they proved their case. But so I'm a little disappointed on both sides.
Okay. The assessed value of the property is 89% of the median, which is within 120% of what the predominant would be. So we're not concerned about that.
Wait a minute. You say 89. I'm saying 541,750 against a median of 481,300.
As we mentioned in our documentation, and as is mentioned on page 1 and that I spoke to, the assessed value was revised after conversation with the owners. The assessed value was revised to 428,910.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Okay.
And I guess, Chris, I was going to ask why did the land value change?
Because after conversation with the homeowners, right. Let me see right here.
Because it went from like 322 to 209.
Correct. After conversation with the homeowners, there was a 65% adjustment placed on their land because of its location.
So, okay. 28-9-10. Well, that brings it more in line with the median price.
Mm-hmm.
If could you recalculate the median price without 4, 5, and 6?
Sure.
It'll actually make it go up, I think.
Well, I don't know, because there's a $500,000 one on number 6, so I don't know. We'll see.
New median is 494,800.
494,800. Okay. Okay. One did go up a little. Okay.
Did, yep.
All right. You're right, Peter.
And so your evaluation then would be below the minimum. The 428 is below the minimum of the comps.
Yes. Yes. Of those three comps, yeah. Well, let me ask
you. Just to answer Peter's comment with that, it is a little more typical to see kind of a wider spread like that, because we're dealing with properties that are a lot more unique than one another than, you know, a 0.17 acre lot with homes that were all built in 2016, you know, as neighbors. You know, that spread's a little larger with stuff like this. That's pretty inherent in the process.
Well, let me ask Chuck and Peter, do you guys agree with throwing out comps 4, 5, and 6?
My tendency is to go with what the assessors proposed.
I guess, yeah, but you said location of the land is what decreased it. To me, its value would be higher in Richland than Findlay or Benton City.
That's my thinking,
what
too.
What was wrong with the land that, or the location that decreased it from your original property card?
Okay, so this property is one of the properties that's kind of, it's located around and off of Clodfelter in Kennewick.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they consistently tend to run into issues with things as far as like, can our land be subdivided? Can it not be subdivided? Most people aren't really concerned about that, but it does factor into it. They also have issues with wells and how deep you need to drill for them and things of that nature. It's a very kind of varied geography. A lot of the lots, they have their little area that they've kind of carved out that they can put their house in. And then to varying degrees, depending on where it's at on the ridge or if it's on the left of Clodfelter, how much of it's usable. There's just a lot of, even from parcel to parcel, variables that exist. And so after review of it and speaking with the taxpayers and speaking with a lot of the taxpayers in that area last year, we felt that there was an adjustment that needed to be made to a lot of those parcels, because there's just a lot of stuff that happens when you try to develop that land.
So let me describe my thinking a little bit to George's question. The appellant's been told what the assessor has, you know, revalued at the 428.9K. And if we throw out 4, 5, 6, I believe it's going to make the value go up. And so we're going to go back to the appellant for a hearing they didn't get to sit in on and tell them that the property value has gone up from what they were last told. So I would tend to lean in favor of the appellant and go with the lower assessment.
No, I mean, Peter, the value wouldn't change. The assessor's already quoted an assessment. So that isn't going to change.
And I can speak to that directly, just to, if the appellant listens in after the fact and they have concerns about that, I direct the board and the appellant to page 5 of our documentation. And I'll just read it verbatim. The intended purpose of this appraisal is to determine the market value of the subject property to guide the assessor's response to the assessed valuation petition. As an administrative practice, when the results of an appeal appraisal conclude, that the original assessed value is greater than the market value, the appraisal will recommend that the board lower the assessed value to market. Conversely, when the results suggest that the original assessed value is at or below fair or true market value, the appraiser will not recommend the higher value to the board, but instead will recommend that the board sustain the original market value.
Okay.
Okay, in which case, I'm fine with what you proposed, George.
Okay.
So does the appellant know it's 428 now instead of the higher number?
Yes, the value was changed during the 30-day period, and it went through. They would have gotten a letter in the mail that said, hey, this correction was made to your value. Additionally, this is the copy. They would have gotten the same copy of the petition that shows, you know, that we were at that 428.910, and we also would have let them know that we had made that change.
Okay, so they may be, maybe that's why they're not here.
That may be why they're not here. And they probably should have just withdrawn their petition, but they didn't. So,
right.
Also, could you speak to Chris? Could you speak to manufactured home values over time?
Sure.
He's saying they go up, and so I'd like to understand that.
Did someone say, "Oh boy"? So. With any type of improvement, be it a manufactured home or a stick-built home, there's always two major influences that are pushing and pulling against it. There's the depreciation of a property, and then there's the market value of a property. And so on a timeline, if everything were stable and everything were equal, a manufactured home is going to depreciate in value faster than a stick-built home. But what is pushing that up and working in the opposite direction is market response. And much like we've seen just homes in general going up in value, it's had the same effect on manufactured homes as well. Manufactured homes, the value that they are selling for is in a direct opposition to their depreciation, and in some ways is pushing it up, even in most of those cases. It's the nature of the market.
Okay. I just wanted to get that on the record in case that became an issue for the appellant.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have a kind of a weird question, probably. I think I know the answer, but comparing these mobile homes is tough, particularly when the acreages are kind of different. What if you just took land value out, made them all zero? Would that, and then did your comparison, would that give you a more true value of what a mobile home is worth? I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just curious. Right. Or with your adjustments, would they all be the same value? Because I know you're looking at the total market, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to split them out, which we don't do, but I just was curious of the math, I guess.
I understand. The thing that it always brings me back to is the joke that the appraiser joke that according to appraiser, what's 2 + 2? And the answer is it's somewhere between 3 and 5.
Okay.
homes on acreage are that extra degree of complicated, and manufactured homes on acreage are even more so, because you'll see a range, and you'll see the person who buys the house on the manufactured home on acreage because they want the land, and the manufactured home is, we're going to live in it until we recuperate, some of our loan costs on the house, or until we save up again, and then we're going to tear that house down and put the dream home that we wanted on it. You'll see that. And then you'll see all the way up to, this is actually a pretty nice manufactured home. We're cool with living in it. We got the land we wanted and the home's not bad. And so you have to anticipate market reaction to things like that too, and especially in individual cases. But ultimately with stuff like this, we were able to find, for the most part, you can kind of see it in the age of the homes. A lot of these homes are the homes that we have. And if we omit comps 4, 5, and 6, 1998 and 1997, and then comp 2 is in 1982, but it's also in good condition. It's good condition versus average condition. So we see homes that are well maintained, that are newer, and that are bigger. And it's one thing to go, we're gonna remove a 1,400 square foot double wide from 7 acres of land. But once you start looking at something that is like a 2,700 square foot manufactured home, you go, manufactured or stick built, that's a lot of house. And they may just be like, no, that was actually part of the appeal in that case too, when we did buy it.
Okay, thanks.
That was kind of roundabout. Did I answer your question? Okay.
There's a kind of an accountant joke, the same as the assessor joke.
Love to hear it.
Well, they were interviewing an accountant. This is when I worked for Boise Cascade. And the question was, what is 2 + 2? And the guy from Yale was like, well, 4. And okay, they interviewed a guy from Stanford, and it was, what's 2 + 2? And the accountant says, well, it's 4. And then I interviewed an accountant from Boise State, and he said, what's 2 + 2? And his answer was, what would you like it to be?
I've heard that before.
Yeah, so kind of the same idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have no further questions. Chuck, Peter, any further questions?
Not from me.
No.
Okay. Mary Lou, let's close the hearing and we'll deliberate.
Thank you all.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-135-23. The appellant is Mohammed Jalayar with parcel number 1-0898-309-0000-005. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. The appellant does not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, again, this is a residential hearing. We'll have about a half an hour for this one. The appellant does not appear to be present, so I'll just read from his petition. He says, when compared to homes that have sold in 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023, in the surrounding area in West Richland, my home has been assessed higher than the fair market value by the county assessor. He provides on his petition 4 sales, two of which are from 2021, one of which was 2023, and the last one was from 2022. Additionally, he provided a comparable sales worksheet, which we're not quite sure the source of it, but speculation is that he copied a lot of this from the assessor's document. So based on this, I see that the subject is valued at $615,160, and he shows with his grid estimate the median is $614,250. So by this document, he's not supporting his requested valuations. So with that, I think I'd like to hear from Chris.
Okay. The assessor's determination of market value is $615,160 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. Subject to one-story home consisting of 2,277 square feet of living area with a 750 square foot attached garage and Revel 5. I think to speak to the appellant's initial petition, I think that the value that they kind of came up with, even though it's 520, I think they probably were looking more at their initial documentary evidence as far as what they felt the value should be. And to speak to those comps really quick, comp A obviously is a 2023 sale.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes.
So I have the appellant here in Prosser. Sorry.
He's physically outside the door. Well, yes. Invite him in.
You're this person? Yes. Okay. Go ahead and come in. The board has already started. Sorry.
That's okay. I was waiting out there.
Oh, okay.
Well, Why don't we start over again? So here's the introduction. Mary Lou, could you read that again for the record?
We started just a few minutes ago. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-135-23. The appellant is Mohammed Jalayar with parcel number 1-0898-309-0000-005. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. You want to raise your right hand. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential petition. We usually allow about a half an hour for this. So the first 10 minutes, I'd like to hear from the appellant. Next, I'd like to hear from the assessor. We'll have a few questions back and forth, and then we'll adjourn and deliberate. So, Mr. Jalayar, you can proceed.
Good morning. My name is Mohammed Jalayar, and I'm the owner of the residential house. When I received the tax assessment and I looked at it, and also I evaluated sales in the neighborhoods. And also when I received also the comparison from the assessor's office and looking at the two and the houses that were compared and like that. So based on the information that I have put together and also that what I received from the assessor's office is I'm looking at there are homes that were as a sold in that neighborhood that were in the different higher values. And then when the assessment was done for those homes, they were assessed below the sales price of those homes for that year, for the year 2022. So and my question was looking at is how did that my house has been assessed higher than what the, even though the sales the assessed value of those homes that were sold for the price or assessed lower than. And i.e. I'll give you an example of several homes like that. For example, just please bear with me. Like 4121, I can Rosenkrantz house was assessed for 595,000, sold for 595,000, but was assessed for 580,770. Another house, like 4510 King Court, that house was sold for 619,900, but was assessed for $606,930. Another house that was is which is 3937 Queen Street was sold for $665,000, but was assessed for $573,560. Another house, which is 4556 Queen Street, was sold for $770,000, but was assessed for $707,770. The only house that it was assessed for $564,000, but sold for $564,000, which was but was assessed for mistake. This house is 1325 South 38th Avenue was sold for $591,780, but was assessed for I'm misreading it the two different pages. Yeah, that was sold for $564,000, but was assessed for $591,000. This is the only house that was assessed higher than the sales price, but the other four homes were assessed below the actual sales price. And my understanding was at the time when it was that, okay, my house was based on the neighborhood that was assessed and sold and like that. And that's how they said they determined the market value of my house is for $615,000. So my question is, how did the assessor came up with these homes that were sold higher for higher and then but there was assessed below their sales price?
Okay. Well, let's hear from the assessor then, Chris.
Sure. I'm just writing down the ratios of these really quick. Okay. So the assessor's determination of value is $615,160 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. Subject property is a one-story home. It's 2,277 square feet with a 750 square foot attached garage. In rebel cycle 5. So to speak to the appellant's question, we need to make sure that we're not comparing assessed value to assessed value because that's not appraisal. We need to compare assessed value to sales price. And we look at the price of homes in a subject neighborhood, what they're selling for. And we use that to trend all of the properties of a similar house type to be as close to 100% of market value as possible per Washington state statute. So for example, if I look at the comparables, and I just had time to do the first three while the appellant was talking on the appellant's supplementary evidence. So comparable number one, which is 1325 South 38th Avenue, we are at 104% of the ratio. Comparable sale number two, which is 4421 Rosencrantz, we're at 97.5% of the ratio. Comparable sale three, which is 4510 King Court, we're at 97.9% of the ratio. And this would actually bear out if you look at page we got here. Pages 7 and 8 of our documentation.
Chris, when you say ratio, is that the adjusted, or is that the assessed price against the median number that's shown there?
No, the ratio is the assessed value against the sale price.
Okay.
Hopefully, Chris, hopefully you'll help to educate me on the numbers that the appellant said are different than the adjusted sale price we have listed.
Of course. So adjusted sale price, we need to make sure that we are looking at the correct number. Much like when you don't want to compare assessed value to assessed value, you want to make sure that when you're looking at what homes are selling for, you're looking at the original sale price. So for the instance in comparable sale one, it's 104% of the ratio based off of the sale price of $564,000. Comparable sale two is 97.5% of the ratio based off of a sale price of $595,000. And comparable sale three is 97.9% of the ratio based off of the sale price of $619,900. That sale price, when we get when we roll over to a new year, and we looked at, for the instance with the appellant's home and all of the homes, we looked at 2022 sales, and we saw what is the difference between our assessed value and what those homes are selling for, and then you trend the entirety of the neighborhood up until those sale prices are within that 100% of the market value, and that's the trend that everyone receives based off of the sale prices.
Could you quickly go ahead and calculate those, that ratios for comps four and five that's shown on his document?
Sure. $665.
So while he's doing that, I'm assuming that the appellant didn't get to see the adjusted sales price. Or no, that's in his documents.
I think he did.
Yeah, they are there. You're right.
Comparable sale four is 86% of the ratio. And then 313,900. $707, and it sold for. Comparable sale five is 91.8% of the ratio.
And real quick, what was one, two, and three again?
One is 1.04. Two is 97.5. And three is 97.9. And if you wanted to know the total for all one story in the neighborhood, if you turn to page five of our documentation, our overall ratio of all one-story homes for the neighborhood is 96.84%.
Okay, so you have at least one house there that seems to be well under the target range, right at 86%. And I think you tried to get within 5%, so, you know, 95 to 105 or something like that to be in that ratio.
The Department of Revenue's ratio that they would like to see is between 0.9 and 1.1%. So between 90% and 100%.
Okay. So what do those two values, his comp 4 and 5, that are, you know, one is 86%, one is 91.8%. What does that suggest to you?
I want to be very careful that we're not appraising the properties that aren't the subject.
Right.
If I looked at a comparable sale in a vacuum and saw that it was 86% of the ratio of what the assessed value is based off of its sale price, I would think that we would need to raise the assessed value.
Okay. Well, if it's that far off the mark, is that something we should exclude then?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, it's a valid sale from 2022. You don't want to compare, because what you're doing by looking at the ratio solely in that instance is part of that. What makes up that ratio is the assessed value of the property. And we want to make sure that we're not comparing assessed value to assessed value.
Okay, right. So
it's kind of a false rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah. In looking at the appellant's worksheet, he shows a median of 614,250 against the assessed value of 615,160, which is slightly different from your median of 622,500.
The appellant omitted, the appellant used 5 of the 6 comps that we used. The appellant omitted comp 4, which is the 415 Orchard Street, which is page 4 of our document, which is the one that sold for $685,000.
Mr. Jalali, is there some reason you excluded that one
because
property from the yes?
Instruction requires that you need a 5 comparison, and that's what I provided, 5 comparisons.
Okay.
So it was not because of that, because per the instruction says provide 5 comparisons, and I just provided the 5 comparisons.
All right. Did you have any
okay, but, it, at but this if point? I if I go, you didn't on the list I'm looking at, the petition itself, there are 4 comparisons that you showed, and none of them are on this list. They're all different than that. I'm looking at the second page of the appeal. So you took the assessor's comparisons, but your own are different.
I'm guessing that's a sequence.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Okay, so I have 1325 South 38, 441, 4510, and
No. You're on the appeal itself. You've got one on Fernow Street, Collins Street, and 2 on Curtis Street, which I have no idea what those are or why they're in there then. Look at the appeal document.
So Chuck, I'm guessing that was his original submittal, and then he might maybe send in subsequent.
The original submittal. That was the, if you look at it, because at that time, I provided it. If you look at these are like the sales years of 2023 and I think 2022, the one that originally, but later on, then when I talked to the assessors, they said no, all the assessed value is based on the 2022 sales price, not 2023. I'm like, that's why.
Okay, so you didn't go and look for any on your own. You just used what they had. what the assessor had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to understand what was going on there.
Although his second, his B is a good one on the original, you know, September of 2022.
Yeah.
I would actually argue that it's not, because it is 2.9 miles away from the subject and we have many more that are closer. It's also south of Keene. It's in a completely different neighborhood.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess I can see that.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that's the problem. We get these, we don't get that additional information.
Yeah, when I submitted later on additional information, that's why I did not. So I went back to 2022, because in my original one, I had 2022 and 2023 sales comparisons. Not okay. And then after I had a conversation with one of the assessors, they said, no, all the tax year for 2024 is based on the 2022 sales, and 2025 will be based on 2023. So yeah, that's,
I understand.
When I have added the additional information, that's why you will see everything is based on the 2022.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything further to add at this point, Mr. Jalalyar?
Okay. Like I said, whatever the my only thing that this, I'm not comparing assessed value with assessed value. My question was, the original was okay, those homes that were sold in that year, and here shown as a comparison, like I give you for like comparison number five was sold for $770,000. Comparison number four was sold for $675,000, but they were assessed below their sales price. Okay, and that's my question: is this, if it's, everything is based on the sales price of those homes, if my house is assessed based on the sales value, I know there is an adjustment been done, because the reason for those adjustments is because, like comparison number five and number four, both of these are, and if you look at it, both are called what's called grid class 35, which means that they have all have a view. So they are have a view properties, that's why. And then if you look at it, the garage, the total garage square footage of these property are bigger than what my says. So that's why, so these, the dollar that was, and then also the square footage of the house. My house is 2274. These are 2498 and 20, yes. So their square footage is higher. That's why they deducted. That's what the adjust value was corrected, came down, because you have to deduct to ensure,
right,
to make a comparison. Right. You have to have the same square footage, the same everything, and not have the same grid. So that's how it is. It's not because I adjusted because of the just the
right. So what you can see is the assessors are making, on this particular document, the assessors are trying to create comparable sales. In other words, they're taking properties of the same construction type, in other words, single story, same construction quality, make adjustments for age if appropriate, square footage, garage size, other things. So they're trying to make, they're using this to compare to your property and make it as comparable as possible to your property. When they do assessments, it's done on a mass appraisal basis for a given neighborhood. And they don't look at it this way when they're doing the mass appraisal. So what we're trying to determine as a board, what we're trying to determine is, does the data that we're seeing, and that is the sales, support your requested valuation? And that's the question for us. And so based on the data we're seeing, it looks like your property falls in line with the assessed value. We can't compare one property's assessed value to another property's assessed value, because for one thing, it hasn't been adjusted, right? So we don't know what all went into that. So all we can go by are the sales and the adjustments.
May I speak to one more thing really quickly, just by way of information?
Speak.
The one-story homes in Mr. Jalaliar's neighborhood, there were 57 sales in 2022 that we used to make an adjustment to the assessed values. Now, of those sales, there are going to be some that are older, some that are newer, some that are bigger, some that are smaller. A person who has hardboard siding next door to a person who has stucco siding. And all of those affect the cost of what that home would be, the replacement cost new, the cost approach. So we look at those 57 sales, and just to use an example, we see that the ratio of those is, say, 85%. And we know that the state wants us to be at 100, and the DOR wants us to see us between 90 and 110. So if we're at 85, we know that applying a 15% adjustment would bring everyone to 100. But the problem with that is there is going to be that person that has the stucco home, but the hardboard one sold. The hardboard one, if we put it to 100 because stucco costs more, it might bump it up to 102, 103, something like that. So we're going to look at that and go, what gets us into that range of 100% with the understanding that statistics and mass appraisal is not an exact pinpoint of a dot, but it's a bell curve. And we want to see things that fall within that bell curve. And that's why you can have something where my home is identical to my neighbor's. Why is my assessed value $5,000 or $6,000 higher? And we were more than happy to answer that question. Oh, they went with the extra bathroom option, or oh, they went with the hardboard. They went with the stucco siding, and you went with the more basic option. All of these things add up into making homes that appear for the most part identical having different values from one another. And so when one of those two sells, or to be more accurate, when 57 in a sea of 200, 50, 300, somewhere in there sell, everyone's going to go up that percentage, but their overall values are going to be slightly different from one another because everything's on a curve and in a spectrum versus pinpoints, dots on a map.
Is there anything about Mr. Jalaliar's house that causes it to be different from the other houses that's not shown on the adjustments?
Not that we saw. The only thing that really is different about it is it's one of the first of two homes. At the time it was appraised, it was one of the first two homes that was being built in that new Musafa subdivision. But there was really nothing above and beyond that made it unique to anything else, and which is why we went with the comps that we went with.
Okay. When was the house purchased?
I'm sorry, you cut off there for a second. What was your question?
Oh, when was the house purchased?
We do not actually have any record of the deed or sale for this property. We just have the permit that was dated. We don't even have the permit. We just have it on record when we picked it up in 2022.
Now, magically appeared.
It happens more often than you think.
Okay.
May I say something?
Yes.
I owned the land. I had the land that, and then that's why I built the house.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
So you had the house built on your land.
Yes. Yeah. The house. Okay. I purchased the land back in 2003.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah, like that. And then I built a house on it, and the house itself cost me what the price of the land and the cost of the house, everything cost me $486,350 or something dollar.
Okay. And we're not concerned or worried that we don't see a permit. We don't see permits and sales for a lot of reasons. We're beholden to getting deeds and plans and things from the cities, and sometimes we don't always get all of them. So we're not worried about that or anything. It happens.
When was the house purchased for that? So I just wanted to.
Okay.
Okay, we're about out of time here. So did you have anything further to add, Mr. Jalaliar?
No, that's the one thing I was.
Okay. All right. All right. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
No, not me.
not from me.
Okay. All right. Mary Lou, let's close the hearing and we'll excuse the appellant and the assessor and we'll deliberate.
Mr. Jalaliar, thank you for your time. It was nice to speak with you.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
One last thing was so because I have to pay the property tax, and that's, I think, done by April 30th, which is close the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And I don't want to get be penalized or fined. So I want to make sure that I can, to whatever that decision, I need, would like to know that so that I could pay my taxes. And
okay.
Whatever that decision is.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.